Good morning, Mark, and thanks for being with us today. We're here to talk about Alderan's Kami Iron Ore project in Quebec, Labrador. Mark, this is a huge deposit nestled among four other producing mines, and the PEA you released in September envisions an 8 million ton per year operation that would run for 15 years. So can you put the deposit into perspective for us, say by comparing it to its neighbors?
Would be the Consolidated Thompson. And they had a project that was 909 million tons of resource included in their feasibility study. Mm-hmm. And they were ramping up to 16 million ton per annum production. We're expecting, if we convert all of our indicated and inferred into measured and indicated for our feasibility study, to be able to print a number north of a billion tons, or it'll be bigger than Consolidated Thompson's. How much, I can't say yet, but certainly that's the objective, and the potential is there given the inferred numbers that we've been able to identify. And quite frankly, these iron ore deposits in this region are well understood and have wonderful continuity. So the conversion rate from the inferred to measured and indicated is a very, very high percentage, and sometimes you end up with a little more. So, you know, that PEA we put out was just on the Rose Central deposit, and it was about 430 million tons of iron ore resource, and in fact, we expect the deposit to be over a billion, as I said, so we expect a feasibility study to show an even more robust economic outlook for the project than did the PEA, notwithstanding that the PEA demonstrated that this was a very valuable project with an internal rate of return of 40%, and using an 8% discount, a $3 billion NPV with a 2.7-year payback on investment. So, again, that was just on about a third of what we eventually expect to be a 1 billion ton plus deposit with an eventual output of 16 million ton per annum.
Okay. Geographically, can you just place it for us where the deposit is?
Sure. It's actually 100% in Labrador, although it's right on the Labrador-Quebec border. It's just south of Labrador City and Wabush, which are the communities on the Labrador side that service the existing mining operations. It's also very close to the town of Fermont, right across the border in Quebec. In fact, from a topographic high on our property, you can see all of the existing mining operations, which are ArcelorMittal, Cleveland Cliffs Consolidated Thompson Operation, Rio Tinto's Iron Ore Company of Canada, and the historic Wabush operation owned by Cleveland Cliffs. So, pardon me, we're inside an existing iron ore mining camp, the roots of which go back some 40-some-odd years.
Right. Can you describe the deposit itself? Is it mostly magnetite, or what type of iron ore are we talking about?
It's a mix. It's a hybrid of a coarse grain magnetite, and hematite. And in fact, the expanding areas of the deposit, right now it's mostly 60% magnetite, 40% hematite. But the expanding areas of the deposit are actually greater in hematite than magnetite. And since it'll all be within one pit, we're expecting, at the end of the day, about a 50% balance between hematite and magnetite, with the magnetite being coarse-grained, not requiring excessive grinding to liberate the iron, and therefore we can produce a final concentrate product. There's no need to pelletize, and the specs on our concentrate are what our CEO refers to as a sister product to what IOC currently produces, and he ought to know because he worked there for 20 years.
Right, okay. Now, as you're well aware, it's not enough for an iron ore company to have a great deposit. You also have to have excellent nearby infrastructure in power, rail, and port facilities. So how do you plan on powering the operation and getting the ore from processing plant to rail cars and ships?
The processing plant will be built directly on site. We need a 12-kilometer spur at about $1.5 to $2 million per kilometer build. And that will connect to the junction at Wabush, the Port of Sept-Îles. So the Common Carrier Railway has to let us on. In fact, they have lots of capacity. We calculate greater than 50 million tons surplus capacity at present. They have to charge us commercial rates, which are well established since the Common Carrier hauls for Consolidated Thompson and Cleveland Cliffs, Labrador Iron Mines, New Millennium. It's all done on commercial tariffs. If they tried to charge us more than what commercial rates would indicate, we have the ability to take them to arbitration within a 60-day time frame with a final decision, which is remarkable, but that is the system that's set up by the federal government, and it means that rail access for those trying to get on a common carrier is very easy to obtain. Low-cost power, the power is hydro-generated, comes from Churchill Falls, which is the big generating station drilled, developed in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
It's being expanded, Lower Churchill / Muskrat Falls, 30-megawatt expansion, recently permitted, not constructed, but there's lots of low-cost power there. You're looking at 4 to 5 cents a kilowatt hour, which is, by world standards, just remarkably cheap. And the railway terminates at the Port of Sept-Îles, which is a federal port operated by the federal government under using a federal crown corporation. It is currently in the process of developing a major expansion plan, which has been shared with us, and we are in discussions with them to participate in the new expanded port facility and secure our own stockyard there. The new facility will be a multi-user platform, so all companies will use it, suitable for large Capesize vessels of up to about 300,000 tons, which makes shipping to China very economic. Loading capacity of about 50 to 60 million tons a year, and we expect this to be fully constructed by 2014, which is late 2014. We're slated to begin pilot production. We'll be shipping in not until early 2015, so this port will be ready for us at that time. So we've got world-class infrastructure to get access to, and it's only getting better.
I take it your export market would then primarily be Asia?
It is, and I say that, it's really grounded in fact. The fact, we are in discussions with potential future customers now.
Okay.
We have been speaking with a number of Asian steel concerns, be it Korean, Japanese, or Chinese. So eventually, that's where we believe the iron ore will go. We expect to secure a partnership with one of these steel concerns prior to construction in order to cement the project financing.
Okay. You anticipated my next question, because building all this infrastructure is going to be expensive. The PEA estimates the cost of the project at pretty close to $1 billion. So you mentioned you're considering taking on a partner. How would you be looking at raising that capital?
Well, it's a combination of debt and equity, and you want someone on the offtake side to come in and take an equity position in the company.
Mm-hmm.
and put up some money toward the financing of the project. So let's say several hundred million dollars in some combination of debt and equity.
Okay.
And you want that whatever debt to be there to be subordinated so that any future debt you bring in from the big infrastructure players in the world ranks in superiority to that. So that's what enables you to get your project financing. It's really a beachhead. And once you've got that there, once the big banks that provide the infrastructure financing, the Deutsche Banks, the Credit Suisse, once they see you've got a customer for a guaranteed portion of your ore, that customer has put up several hundred million dollars in good faith toward the building of the project, that's when the rest of the money can get secured on favorable terms.
Right. Okay. So maybe we can just switch to the permitting aspect of the project. I was reading that Eldrin has just started the environmental permitting process. So do you foresee any problems in getting buy-in from the federal or provincial government?
Oh, I mean, we're inside an iron ore mining camp.
Mm-hmm.
We're surrounded by four other iron ore mines. I don't foresee any significant difficulties with permitting. I mean, we have a process we have to go through. It's going to take us 18 months or so in order to complete that process.
Mm-hmm.
But any major obstacles there. Certainly, in all our meetings with government officials, we've been given no indication there'll be any surprises of any kind. And again, one wouldn't expect any on the permitting side inside an existing iron ore mining camp with communities that are the sole reason for them existing is to support iron ore mining.
Right, right. Okay. So here at mining.com, we've been talking a lot lately about how the iron ore price has been dropping lately in response to partly anyway to lower steelmaking demand in China as the Chinese economy slows down. So how do you foresee the iron ore price shaking out in the short term and the long term?
Well, we actually don't believe that's what's happened. What has happened is that a lot of the steel mills in the world, in response to the crisis and the uncertainty raised by it, have deferred some of their existing orders. And so, at the end of the day, we think this price drop represents a deferral, and for that reason, is going to be short lived. The infrastructure build-out in China continues. The slowdown in China with respect to business activity is a result of the central government deliberately hitting a braking mechanism on the economy. It is a state-controlled economy.
Mm-hmm.
It is state capitalism. And they're doing their job. You've got problems that are created when you have growth at 10%, just like you have problems created when you have growth at zero. They're different problems, but they still require a response. And in this case, you're looking at real estate bubbles and bad lending practices and other issues like that. So the steel consumption itself is primarily related to infrastructure build-out. And if you look at China in terms of how much infrastructure build-out is left, particularly when you get away from the coast more into the interior, which, by the way, is where most people live,
mm-hmm.
there's decades more work yet to be done. And also, I would argue, if you look at the iron ore price, it has hung in remarkably well over the course of this year. What we've seen is almost a sideways pattern on the chart all year long, and that the drop is very, very recent, and we argue that it's going to be very short-lived as well. I guess it's based on our experience in China, where they're quite a bit these days, talking to different steel mills about becoming our offtake partner, and we look at the deals that they're doing now, and for instance, the last big one I saw was Shandong Steel,
right?
$1.5 billion in African minerals,
mm-hmm.
securing supply that's not going to come on stream for another 10 years, and maybe even a little bit longer. You don't make moves like that, and they're all doing deals like this unless you believe you're going to need it.
Yeah.
And so that's why we look to them. We don't look to any talking heads on CNBC or anything like that to guide us as to where the prices are going. We look to how the customers are behaving. And the customers are deploying their capital at a very aggressive pace to secure iron ore supply decades out. And so we'll take that as an indicator that prices are going to stay very strong.
Okay. So just returning to the deposit, when are you looking at bringing it into production?
Well, I'm targeting right now pilot production the end of 2014, commercial production with shipping in 2015, and that is an aggressive timetable, but it's one that's already been achieved by Consolidated Thompson, and we arguably have even more favorable conditions than they did in terms of less of an infrastructure build-out, and a team that's already done it once before, as we have a lot of the ex-Consolidated Thompson people with us. So I think that that's an achievable objective.
And just a reminder to our readers that Consolidated Thompson was bought out by Cliffs Natural Resources last year for $5 billion, right? So you are planning on taking this deposit into production yourself, though?
Yeah, we are, just as Thompson did, and again, we have a lot of those people with us, as well as a lot of people from Iron Ore Company of Canada, the largest iron ore mine in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
People with 20 years under their belt. We've got the team that can do it and has done it, demonstrated that, and that's what we're going to do here. We're not looking for anybody to come along and buy us. There's no question that once you fully de-risk the project, you get it permitted, you get it financed, you get it built, you get it moving, you make yourself an appetizing target for a major to come in and buy you and get immediate production.
Mm-hmm.
But we believe that either way, the only way to achieve full value for our shareholders, of which insiders make up 50% in this company,
mm-hmm.
is to take it to production. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. So what are your next steps?
Right now, we're infill drilling. We need as much of the resource into the indicated category as we can.
Yep.
We'll be taking a break at Christmas and resuming drilling in the winter up until April. Once the infill drill program is complete, the full resource will then get dumped into the feasibility study, which is ongoing. The work on that has never stopped with the publication of the PEA. And so that resource will be put in, and we'll publish in about June or July the full bankable feasibility study with the updated resource. Again, we're aiming north of a billion tons.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we're doing quite aggressively is we're moving the rail, power, and port files, trying to secure those contracts. We also have the objective of securing an offtake partner by the time full feasibility is out. So those are the kind of things people can look for in terms of announcements between now and feasibility publication.
Okay. Are you able to give us any hints on offtake partners?
Well, you know, you have to be patient. You know, I could do a deal today. I could tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to. We want to get the best possible terms we can, and that requires patience as you create competitive tensions amongst the potential offtake parties. And it's a long-term game, and we started the file early, and we're giving ourselves until the middle of next year to get a deal done. So we're not going to rush it. We're going to get the best terms that we can possibly get.
Okay, well, looks like a very exciting project, so I wish you the best of luck with it.